Blog Talk Radio.
Love it.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, a hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it ain't timely like the Fab Five during prime time, sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, kings and queens of War Room World? The generals are back in the building, so that can only mean one thing. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Jimmy, the Blueprint, and I'm joined at the round table by Dev and B. Austin. What's up, gentlemen?
Yo, what's going on?
Yo, it is.
Already. We're down to the final four, so we'll be revisiting those brackets one last time. You know, except B. Austin, who don't care. We'll also talk to the good Dr. Monique Roll about a common ailment that has been plaguing the feet of athletes and non-athletes alike. But before we do that, we have, you know, a lot more from the wild world of sports this past week, and it's kind of crazy. You know how the sports are when we have these crazy stories, and we're going to get into all these stories. Before we do that, we have a lot more of our shows that we want you to check out. You know, we have an upcoming network, the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Make sure you pay attention to that. The War Room Sports Podcast Network. Listen, I want you to remember that. The War Room Sports Podcast Network. And I'm saying it like that for a reason. But anyway, before the podcast networks drop, make sure you check out a lot of our shows, Roy and Christian, the Broad Street Line, as well as Brandon Pemberton, you know, Brandon on Sports. Also, the JW Philly Realty chat room, you can find that at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or you could join us on Facebook or Twitter. That's at War Room Sports. That's where we are all across the internets. So join all our conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, which is 323-410-0012. You know, during the week, do yourself a favor. Just make sure you check out those shows. And remember, Dev, I'm going to keep drilling this in their head. The War Room Sports Podcast Network. And I say it very slow so you can remember, the War Room Sports Podcast Network. But remember, this show, The War Room, is also in syndication. We're on newvibradio.com, 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m., we're also on fastradio.com. So, you know, stay in tune with everything we're doing. And warroomsports.com is the website. But one last time before I talk to you guys, gentlemen, War Room Sports Podcast Network.
Whoa, how?
You guys excited? Yo. You guys excited about this podcast network, yo?
Yo, we podcast.
WRSPN. Really, remember that too.
Yo,
call letters.
That's really all it's about. The 5 letters, not the 4 letters. The 5 letters.
Not the 4 letters.
Boom.
The 5 letters. Which you just gave us a little slogan right there. Not the 4 letters. The 5 letters, man. I'm going to tell you what happened while you were on the ground. Before I do, one last thing I want to say. War Room Sports Podcast Network. Yo, I'm going to keep saying it, King, just so they know that, no, this is no joke. People, it's funny because we talk about this and people really don't understand what's about to happen. You know, while you're at work and at your desk, we're going to give you all sorts of entertainment, and it's not just sports. We're talking about life, man. Gentlemen, how is your week going so far, man?
Well, life is a sport.
You know, life is a gamble.
Yeah. That's a lot what, of aspects.
Life
scramble
is a struggle.
A lot of aspects.
Yeah, life's also a struggle, you know.
I might crack a smile, but ain't a damn thing funny.
Yo, no one catches all of our hip-hop references, yo. If you didn't grow up in the golden era, kill yourself. Yo, anyway, man, let's jump into these topics because we have so many of them, man. It's a lot of great sports topics, man. Let's talk about what happened while you were on the grind. And for those who may have never heard the show, shame on you. But remember, you can also catch the show on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. But While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. Listen, if you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. All the basketball, football, and baseball anyone can love. Now, gentlemen, some funny stories here. First one, Boogie Smooth. Shout out to Andy from the Sports Kings. That's like his favorite player. His April Fool's joke was that he was releasing an R&B album. We had a field day
Hold
with this
though,
when we heard the story.
Jimmy, I don't think everybody out there know who Boogie Smooth is, man, because that's his R&B name.
Oh, my fault. Boogie Smooth, a.k.a. Boogie Cousins, a.k.a. DeMarcus Cousins. You know, we just call him Boogie because that's the homie. But Boogie Cousins from the Sacramento Kings had his April Fool's joke where he said he was releasing an R&B album, yo. Straight R&B, though. That's what made the joke even funnier. And we enjoyed this when we saw the story. But what do you guys think, yo?
Man, first of all, this is what I think, man. I don't believe him. I'll let Jay say.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
I say that because you fellas brought this to my attention long before April Fool's Day. Now, I didn't get wind of the actual album cover photo until April Fool's Day, but I'm starting to think that this dude, because I've seen him in a video singing before while he was getting in the car with one of his homies, I think this dude really recorded an R&B album, was ready to put it out. I think he saw the reaction from the masses on social media, you know, all the laughter and all the clowning them, and I think he might have gotten cold feet, so he wanted to call it an April Fool's joke. I mean, around this time of the year, you know, between March 28th and March 29th and April 2nd or 3rd, you can always run with the, oh, that was an April Fool's type thing. I'm not buying it, man. I think the dude got some tracks laid down, and I think he got cold feet after he saw all the laughter.
Take it a step further. I think not only does he have an album cut, I think that he's already paid for the features. So I think he's got cats, you know, I think he's got work lined up. My whole thing is just go ahead and drop your work. I mean, if you a singing ass dude, then go ahead and be a singing ass dude. There's nothing wrong with that. I'd rather him be soft and singing than try and go the route that most NBA ball players go, which is to be a rapper. The world does not need any more rappers. So I
gang banging with
hot. Let's take it back to the gang banging with balls
with hot
balls.
Yo, here's the thing, right? That's an interesting take you gentlemen have on it. I think it's going to be like the Lost Tapes. We may hear it, you know, years down the line, the Boogie Cousins Lost Tapes. But I just find it interesting because. Like I said in the thread we were talking about,
Blazer 50.
Yo, by the way, Nas Lost Tapes might be one of his top five albums. But anyway, I digress. Boogie Cousins, is like, yo, how you going to be a 7-foot R&B singing dude, yo? That's like, it just doesn't fit, man. Like, yo, you can't be crying for the yams and you 7'12", yo. It just doesn't work that way. But
that's that Montel Jordan ass.
Yo, what I find interesting is when people first said he released an album, people were outraged, like a rap album, and then it's like it was R&B, so it was a little okay. Like, it's okay. It still wasn't fully okay.
It just got funny after that.
Yeah, it just got funny. But at first it was like people were mad. I'm like, yo, the genre music actually matters because, like I said, if he dropped a gospel album, no one would say anything. Like, you know, there have been – what was it? Wayman Tisdale dropped several jazz albums while he played. No one cared. But it's like the connotation behind the music, which I find interesting. Like, if he dropped a country album, nobody would care either, but – you know,
especially gospel, though, Jim, because gospel is the type of music where you can sound like a dog being shot and people aren't going to really clown you except for people like us because it's gospel.
Shout out to the Apollo. How many people you seen going on Showtime at the Apollo who can't sing but they'll sing a gospel song so they won't get the boot, yo?
And won't get booed. Uh-huh. And so the Sandman won't come get them.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to us, though,
B.O.,
because we laugh anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, true. I mean, we laugh.
At least we know it, though.
So,
you know what I mean?
But the one thing I want to say about your man, like, not even Boogie, just his generation, just this generation and rap, because it's so easy to jump up on YouTube and jump on Instagram and social media, the outlet stuff, it's like people don't even take the genre serious, even though it's, you know, it's now pop culture, because everybody can make an album. Everybody can make a rap.
But, you know, that goes beyond rap. It's just rap is looked at that way because I've seen several cats make, like, pop albums or R&B albums and can't sing, but they use the technology to make an album. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, it's terrible. Music itself has been watered down by technology. You know, one of the negatives of technology.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yo, even the stuff you like,
on the low, Kevin Durant is going to drop a backpack rapper joint. He signed to like Black Star or Rockets. Real talk.
Yo, I don't know. He blazing 50s himself. He blazing 50s himself, so who knows? No, but even the albums that you end up liking these days, is like, yo, their shelf life is like 2 weeks. Remember we used to sit on albums for like 3 years?
2 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Shelf life is like 3 days.
These days, after a couple of days, you're like, all right, when they next one coming out? Yo, I see on Twitter an artist drop an album, yo. Somebody will listen and then tweet them back like, yo, when your next one come out? I'm like, yo, cuz. This album came out this morning, yo. It goes to be all in theory on, like, the microwave generation, yo. We already ready for the next thing, man.
Yo, it come out on Monday. By Wednesday, they like, yo, that joint old, man. You ain't heard that yet?
Yo, that joint old, yo. Yo, shout out to the music industry and rest in peace to the music industry, yo. Let's move on to the next story. Hold on. First off, you guys have taken this story a whole different way. I didn't know you were going to say that. Does he get a JoJo Award nomination or not?
I think he does. Because, first of all, I would have given him one just for the R&B album. But now that he's trying to renege on the R&B album, I think he gets two.
All right. You get a JoJo for reneging because
so
we know the
you,
truth.
You think there's no way that he was telling the truth and this was a joke?
All I'm saying is,
Yo Boogie, don't let me find your lost tapes. Don't let me find
your Yo, shout out to us for keeping JoJo alive, by the way. Anyway,
no doubt.
This might be the only place you ever hear JoJo's voice again. Unless you still collect CDs.
Let's move on to the next story. Let's talk about Ray Rice, who married his fiance, even though he's he faces charges, you know, for splitting her wig, Chris Brown style. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but he wasn't married her though. So, what you guys think about this story, y'all?
This is one of the stories that y'all told me about. I still haven't read anything about this, so I'm gonna listen to your inside scoop. Because first of all, I want to know how long after he stretched her boots did he marry her? Like, were they in the casino to get married, and then they got married the next day? Like, because you know those charges are real.
I have some inside scoop. Don't ask me from where. Don't ask me why I know people on the Baltimore Ravens security team. Yo, he whooped that young lady butt, man. So yeah, he knocked her out. Yeah, he knocked her out. And there's another tape that's out there. I don't know how much hush money is being paid. I don't know whether it's going to come out. But the security staff at the casino, they know what's up. He was drunk. He was drunk. She was drunk. She got big mouth, and he bus driving her. He hit her with the bus driver.
He hit her with the bus driver.
So, my thing is, this gentleman, he allegedly,
because, you know, I can't speak to this, allegedly he assaulted her, but even after the assault, you know, they're pretty much they got married. So how will this affect the case in Ray Rice? I mean, what's going to happen?
It won't because the state is going to bring up the charges.
Not her charges.
To her.
Yeah, it's the state's charges.
Yeah. I understand that.
They need a witness or they need corroborating evidence to support it, what they believe happened. But
which she can
that's
block,
where the casino maybe. Comes into play. That's what the casino comes into play because they got to come up with a subpoena to get that other tape. But through my sources, allegedly, man, he bus dropped her. And he admitted to bus driving. Like,
damn.
She came out of face, and he had to do what he had to do. I mean.
So I wonder, because we all know casinos get long money. Like, does Ray Rice even have enough money to even – I don't know, to even get them to breathe out their mouth to think about doing something with those tapes. Like, I mean, I just don't think. I mean, he's a football player. I don't think he's built like that. And any normal,
yeah, but they may
know this.
They
is
may
the
not
pop,
want the publicity.
True.
They might
you
not
know,
want
if this
the
is a mom and pop corner store,
support.
Then Ray all day. But yeah, that's what their trade off is. Their trade off is basically publicity because he definitely doesn't have the money to make that tape disappear. So
yeah, but you know that people who work in positions at establishments like that are still part of B. Austin's microwave generation, who are Sickle fans and probably Ravens fans. So I wouldn't put it past them. You know, these days, yo, you don't even need money, yo. Just being famous, you can get what you want because half of the world are losers.
People will
follow
you to be famous. If you're able to somehow get famous, you don't got to do nothing, no. Just be famous.
Yeah, so that's the world we live in right now, man. It's a world full of sheep. So that wouldn't shock me if it kind of like disappeared or we can't find the tape. And I know we've probably already done this, but Ray Rice, just because B. Austin gave us, you know, more information, yo. And it's crazy.
I think she should get one, too. I think the epitome of this song, I think she fits into that song because after
Black
he
girl
gets
laws.
To see, like, what kind of marital problems are they going to have if you go into the marriage like this? This is not arguing.
Hey,
this is not,
well,
you know, just
point,
not getting along. Like, y'all fist fought in
point,
an elevator.
At this point, they're married, so, hey, to Miss Rice.
You should be ashamed of
And I'm not it's trying true. To be judgmental with none of them, although,
hey,
yes, I am trying to
hey.
Be judgmental. But at the end of the
I'm
day, man, act like you got something to protect, yo. Because they
have
nothing to protect.
I'm going
to
be honest. There is a triple play that you could give out of the JoJo Award because you know there are Ravens fans and Ray Rice fans that are already supporting and defending him without any of the facts coming out. And they definitely
Free
don't
Ray
have
Rice.
My source.
You
know, they already know that.
Their whole fan base.
Yo, I don't care. I don't care how much you like a player, yo. I don't care how much a player means to you. You can't support him, bus driver and his chick.
Yo,
you can't support
about
the
this,
bus
Ray,
driver
Ray,
with chick.
Ray, this is wide receiver behavior, man. This is the kind of behavior that wide receivers show, not running backs.
Hey,
anyway, man, speaking of wide receivers, how about this story right here? And let's also keep it with the Ravens. Deontay Thompson of the Ravens, people thought that he was arrested for climbing on top of an SUV with a family inside the SUV, stark naked and just screaming out loud because he was smoking that butt naked. Now, hold on, though. Here we get more to the story. Because Deontay Thompson was arrested last month for marijuana possession. This has nothing to do with this case. But come to find out, it wasn't him. It was a doppelganger.
Okay.
So it was someone else that, you know, resembled him or what have you that was doing this. But automatically they put it on him. But it turned out that it wasn't him. So it's like, these athletes are a crazy predicament. Like, yo, nothing comes. I would just stay in the house, yo.
Yo,
even when you
man,
don't do something, they put it on you anyway.
My man caught a weed charge, and they blamed him for smoking the butt naked. And if you don't know what butt naked is, if you don't know what smoking the butt naked means, feel blessed and feel great.
Just YouTube search Philly. Just put Philly in the YouTube search. You'll find it.
Yeah. They said that he was smoking
YouTube
that butt naked.
You'll find
some
videos.
That sherm.
Or you can actually
you know
look up this story, and you can see a censored version of this of his doppelganger on top of a car, naked, screaming at people. But, yo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shout out to Deontay for it not being him, but to his doppelganger.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, man.
The way you carry yourself.
Yo, it is crazy because people want to get that high. Now, you know, again, not trying to be judgmental because it's an addiction. Drugs are an addiction. Although sometimes in this country we don't treat them as such, but that's a whole other story. But why would you want to get that high? Like, seriously, like,
yo,
some people want to get mellow.
You know
people
what, want
to get that high. I had a neighbor, right, who used to smoke butt naked, and he literally jumped out of his third-floor window and had to, like, you know, broke his legs, his arms, and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, who wants to be that high? I mean, so like, how
I don't,
you
I've never understood either.
There is no joy. There's no joy in smoking the butt naked. Like, I don't, I can't see the joy in making a complete fool of yourself. And you know, I don't know.
Not even just
running up
fool,
and down
though,
the street,
but who just wants to walk
out
around incoherent and hurting
but
yourself?
But that's what I'm
and,
saying. It's like people get high on different things. Some, you know, if you smoke, if you're a marijuana user and you want
to
be mellow, that's one thing. But
yo,
when
shout
you start
out to you.
When you start using hallucinogens, though, like. Yo, what are you trying
like
to accomplish?
You're like smoking in the chicken coop.
Unless it's one of the things where your life is so bad, you just want to escape to be at a place where, yo, you don't even know what's going on. But then once you recover and you found out that you were climbed on top of a car naked with a family inside the car nonetheless, and you're screaming about reparations and, like, the Boston Tea Party, like,
and you're
why
screaming
do you
about
get that
not
high?
Getting enough playing time and catching touchdown passes. Deontay, we know I'm much than you.
Yeah. Anyway, man, so people out there who are on, as a matter of fact, if anybody listening enjoys hallucinogens, yo, hit us up and let us know why you do it, yo, because I'm pretty sure some of our listeners are on.
Yo,
some of the comments we get during the course of the week on Facebook, Twitter, and such, yo, some of them people are on things, man.
Some of y'all,
shout
out
to our fans
on
hallucinogens, we still love you.
I know at the very least. At the very least, I know a lot of y'all dudes is drinking codeine. Some of the sports debates I have,
and a lot of y'all Redskins fans have drank the Kool-Aid. Anyway, we'll get into that later.
Y'all know I ain't about that life.
Another story. The Bengals Orson Charles. Man. He was arrested for a road rage incident.
The Bengals
and,
getting arrested
again? And this is the thing. The Bengals have tried their best to get
they're
away
back.
From, you know, the whole thing, and now they're back in the news again,
Bungles.
And not for a good reason, man. Orson Charles. Many of you don't know who Orson Charles is, and when we give you an athlete's name and we say he's got in trouble and you haven't heard of his name, that means that he's in real trouble, because if you don't know his name, he's probably going to lose his job.
Permanently.
What do you guys think about this story here?
Yeah, I thought it was crazy because it involves a firearm. Like, it was supposedly either he cut the person off, which doesn't really sound right to me, because why would he be so upset if you cut him, you know, if he cut you off? Or he could have. I mean, because, you know, when people get cut off, they start acting tough. So he might not have enjoyed, you know, the tough act coming from the person in the car. So this dude actually, allegedly, brandished a gun in the direction of the other driver several times while driving down the highway. Like, what happens? Now, I ain't gonna front. Like, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and the traffic here can definitely get you to a point of rage. And, you know, I've almost been there a few times. But, like you said, Jim, like, sometimes you have to realize that you're protecting something. You can't just, especially this dude. Like you said, he's basically a nobody in comparison to some bigger names that get into some trouble, but you have to act like you're protecting something. You can't pull out a gun on somebody on the highway because y'all having a spat over who cut who off. It's not worth it.
You're
not about that life.
Two years from now, my man Orson Charles is going to be a bouncer at Coyote Ugly talking about when he used to play NFL football.
Damn. All I'm saying is this, man.
That's weird.
There's two themes to this show tonight. The first theme being War Room Sports Podcast Network. Remember that. The second theme is this, man. Some of these dudes just really need to understand they have something to protect, man. Like, you have to think before you act. I mean, we've all been in situations where we just jump the gun and act off emotion. But, you know, as you get older, you're supposed to get wiser. Yeah. Some of these guys are younger
until,
guys.
Until
but
somebody
at the end
calmed
of the day,
you down. But, you know.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, man, like, you can't really blame the league. The league is trying to put things in place. Maybe you need to try harder. Because in the NFL especially, because it seems like the NFL is just out of control more so than any other sport. Like, you know, players get caught DUI and things. Like, NFL got all kinds of, like, you got people catching bodies, beating up women on tape,
dang,
you know, allegedly climbing on cars. You got, here you go. We'll talk about that later. But, I mean, it's just, I mean, even if you're not talking about that guy, I mean, you know, Aaron Hernandez.
Which one? Which one? Yeah. There's a couple games, baby.
That's the thing. What I'm saying is the NFL is just completely out of control. And maybe it's a situation like we talked about last week. They know that their demise is coming soon, so, you know, just let the inmates go crazy.
Dev, how Timmy jumped to conclusions. He jumped to conclusions, thought I was talking about the Crip. He thought I was talking about the Crip. I could have been talking about the Blood.
Damn, how about that? Here you go. Yo, I'm going to chill, man. I'm not getting into that debate until we talk about that later. But all I'm saying is the NFL is out of control. And, you know, something has to be done, man. It's every week, these stories, and it's always, yo, I mean, maybe it's the sport, because you got people that literally, you know, are getting paid to hurt each other, so something could be said about that. But anyway, gentlemen, we definitely know, based upon the information we have, Orson Charles.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
And before Dev goes into our birthday section,
while you were on the grind, we gotta change the team, man. We gotta change. It's the all JoJo team. Like,
yo, we had a positive story last week. You know what I mean? Young boy getting all the scholarships, one of them scholarships. But listen though, I just want to recap the JoJo Awards. The nominees rather. We have Boogie Cousins, a 7-footer
so
releasing
far.
The R&B album. You know, so far, how about that? Ray Rice, beating up his fiance or wife at this point, his wife
Ray
marrying
Rice,
him
wife.
After getting yeah his wife for marrying him after getting the Rihanna snot kicked out of her. Also, the Ravens fans who defend Ray Rice, so that's four right there. Deontay Thompson, even though it wasn't him who smoked the butt naked and climbed in the car. The fact that you had the marijuana arrest a month before is the reason that people jumped to the conclusion so fast, just because the guy resembled you, so you still get one. And also the guy for climbing on top of the car, you get one too, so that's six. Orson Charles, Road Rage, that's seven. We have seven JoJo Awards nominees.
We're like 25 minutes into the show.
25 minutes into the show, there are six people who should definitely be ashamed of themselves. Who should be the most ashamed? I don't know, but let's move on to the birthdays, though, Def.
All righty, everybody. Birthdays, as usual, are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll, who will actually be with us right after the birthday. So make sure you stay tuned, because she's going to talk about something that a lot of y'all know y'all going through. Now, when you hear us talking about what we're going to talk about for 10 to 15 minutes, you're going to be sitting there with the puzzle face like, yo, why am I listening to this? Why are they talking about this? But then you're going to look down at your feet. And then you're going to shut up. All right. The birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, core, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and beyond. Just visit alexandriapodiatry.org. You can check her out on Twitter at Dr. Sweetfeet, or you can give her a call at 703-379-0700. However, the method that you choose to get with Dr. Monique Roll, you make sure you tell her or her receptionist or whoever else answers the phone that War Room Sports sent you. Let's get into these birthdays.
Yay!
I'd like to give a birthday shout-out to the newest Chicago Bear, Jared Allen. He did sign with the Bears, right, fellas? Because I've heard all kinds of traders and Jews.
One of them teams in the North.
Jared Allen turns 32, so shout out to him. Watch your back, because Minnesota fans are looking for you. Shout out to one of our favorite JoJo nominees of all time, the NBA's own Mr. Deshaun Stevenson turns 33 years old today. That dude is 33, still going on 15. Shout out to him. We love your immaturity. Shout out to Peekaboo Street. That's a name we haven't heard in a long time. 43 today. Nervous Purvis Ellison turns 47. He was supposed to be that work in the NBA.
Never Nervous Purvis.
Everybody since has changed it to Nervous, because he after college he got nervous a lot. But he's one of those people that you hear on that bust list whenever you talk about, you know, the greatest bust of all time.
Yeah, what he was supposed to be.
Nervous Purvis.
All right, and lastly, shout out to Jack Del Rio, former linebacker, former coach. He turns 51. So I'd like to give a nice big war room salute to all of these gentlemen and ladies on their birthday.
My birthday, yay!
Hey, Dev, you know that today's show has a theme, right? Which is the War Room Sports Podcast Network. one of the contributors wants to chime in. Before we get to him, though, tell everybody how they can get in touch with us.
All right, real quick, everybody. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. In the newsletter, which you get once a week, it'll tell you all about Jimmy.
Everything. Everything we do all in one place will be right in the newsletter. So make sure you sign up for that because we are all over the internet.
The
War Room Sports
Network.
Podcast Network is all over the newsletter. So make sure you sign up for that. Everything we do is right there.
All right, and y'all can also click on that Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can just email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, don't be lazy. Click on the memorabilia tab. Buy some merchandise. Click the blog tab. Read some articles. You can read the mayor is about to come on and tell you cats a few things. He has something that goes on the blog 3 times a week after further review. Y'all can check that out on the blog. You can also click on the respective icons to like our Facebook page where we get it in all day about sports. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can hear more things from our show and the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or your iPhones. And you can watch our videos at WarRoomSportsTV.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Enter the chat room. Just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign into your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow. Make sure you get the updates and reminders about the show that Blog Talk has for you. But we'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. But if you want to call in and speak with us, the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline will be open probably around 6:45, right after Dr. Monique Roll finishes, you know, speaking with you guys about your feet. But that number, as usual, is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listen from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Now, that's for you guys. But the mayor, that's our dude. So we're going to get him on real quick before our guest. What's going on, man?
Chiefs, what's going on, man? Yo, first of all,
man,
I want to salute War Room Sports, man, you know what I mean? Shout out to Dev, man, for, you know, putting me on and all that good stuff right there.
Thank you.
Looking forward to talking to baseball. But, yo, I want to accept one of those Joey awards, one of those awards right there.
JoJo?
Listen, hit me out. I want to accept the JoJo Award on behalf of Ray Rice because Ray Rice is my dude.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? No. Ray Rice is my dude. I knew him from Utter. You know what I mean? So
no doubt.
I just got a different perspective about the whole situation. It's all good, whatever. He did what he did. The videotape shows the whole nine, so I can't really rock to that. But what I can say is that dude is not like that. That's all I'm saying. The video,
I never expected it. Like, I was surprised to hear the story. When it first dropped, I actually gave the dude all the excuses in the book of why
they
probably got this twisted up and, you know, probably came at the wrong time.
Yo,
so
he bus driver
just...
He hit her with the bus driver.
It's not what it looks like, yo.
I mean, here's
like
the thing, man. Listen, man, I don't want to be too judgmental, man. Everybody makes mistakes, man.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he did F her up, though. But, you know, it is what it is, man.
Proof is in the pudding.
It is what it is, man. Everybody makes mistakes, man.
If you rap
some people
today,
can snap,
though,
man.
You know, tell him,
shout out to OJ.
Tell him don't worry, man, because these dudes nominated me for the JoJo Award last week, man.
Yeah,
so.
And man, listen, I step up to the plate, man, and get it, man, because I rock with him.
Hey, that's
in good,
good
situations,
man.
I rock with
you
him.
Take
the
one, you
but
take
yo,
one for your homie. I understand.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying? But Yeah, real talk, though, man. I wanted to get in on the baseball conversation, but what's the topic? What are you talking about so we can rock out? I heard on you were talking about the NFL. It's crazy with the heightening of the goalposts and all this crazy right here.
We all get into a little bit of baseball from opening week right after the guest goes off, so if you want to chime back in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, about 15 minutes, we're going to talk some baseball. We definitely want to hear your perspective on, everything that opened up. So we'll bring you right
in. Yeah, I got something to say about my Yankees. I'll check back in, my dude.
All right, you guys.
All right, cool. All right, thanks,
take it easy.
Shout out to the mayor. Shout out to After Further Review. Shout out to GQ Polish Sports. And like Jimmy said, he will be a part of the War Room Sports.
Room Sports Podcast Network. Yo, we got to get that ingrained in the listeners' heads, bro.
Shout out to Ike Turner.
Yo.
He got me, Mike. I said, hey, Ray, man, don't worry about it, man. These dudes nominated me last week. I not only got nominated, I was like the runaway winner. So, y'all got to go through it sometime.
You threw away about $1 million.
Boy, you said a million.
I'm going to find it, man. I know, he did say a million. But I guess, I'm going to find it, man. I'm going to find it. Hey. So, let's get our guest on the line. Jim, can you cue that up? Because I have no idea where.
You already know.
All right, we're going to have Dr. Monique Roll with us to talk about, she's a podiatrist, so she's an expert on the foot, everything about the foot. Usually when she comes on, we talk injuries, we talk about some stuff that, maybe your favorite athlete is going through right now while he's injured. But this time, since she does a little question and answer session on our Facebook page from time to time, she wanted to address a little something that some of the people were asking her about on Facebook. So it might gross some of y'all out, but like I said, you might look down at your feet and you need to know this information.
Yeah,
so,
and the thing about it,
Jeff,
the one thing I want to say right before we bring her on is that I know a lot of people, this is the season now for marathons, half marathons, 5Ks and things of that nature. So make sure you guys pay attention to what she's getting ready to educate you on. Here we go. Let's bring the doc in to the war room.
So we have on the line with us in the war room our favorite doctor, Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. She's not only she's not just our favorite doctor just because she's one of our sponsors, but, she's definitely one of our sponsors. So since she's on with us this evening, even though she already sponsored the birthday segment, of course she has to sponsor her own segment. So before we bring her on, for the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and beyond. Just visit alexandriapodiatry.org or dial 703-379-0700. Make sure you guys tell them that War Room Sports sent you. But without further ado, we have our favorite doctor on the line with us, and we're going to talk a little bit today about foot fungus. Doc, are you there?
I'm here. And by the way, speaking of birthdays, my birthday was March 2nd, so I hope I got day, but... Okay.
Were we on the air March 2nd? That might be all right. That's our excuse.
It was a
we
Sunday.
We weren't on the air then. We weren't on the air then.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Around
all right, well, happy belated birthday to the doc.
How old are you now? Have you turned 21 yet?
I just turned 25.
25.
We went to school together. Yeah.
25. Yeah, me too. I'm going on that. I'm definitely going on that. This is for you, Doc.
My birthday. Yay!
All right, so we've had a lot of listeners lately because, ever since you did the little segment on our Facebook page, when you did the little question and answer thing, people actually loved that. So just out of the blue, people ask us questions for you. We keep trying to tell them we do that once in a while. You can't just always go around getting free medical advice. You actually got to make an appointment and pay the doc. But, We'll get to that point with some of these people, but a lot of runners in particular, they've been asking questions about foot fungus. First of all, Doc, foot fungus is just in its purest the way it sounds. It just sounds like a nasty thing. I know I was talking to you before off air, and we were talking about the signs of foot fungus, like the yellow toenails and things like that.
Oh.
Tell us real quick, what exactly is foot fungus and some of those signs that people need to watch out for, you know, if just in case they might have foot fungus and they need to come to APA and see you.
Right. So foot fungus, or the medical term, the proper term is called tinea pedis. So basically what that looks like on the skin often looks like a rash, but the skin often peels around the foot. So if you're looking at the foot from the little toes all the way around to the big toe on the bottom of the foot, the skin tends to peel, looks very flaky. Sometimes there's itching, sometimes there's not, but it tends to be mistaken for just dry skin that doesn't respond to a lotion or a moisturizer. And it's, although it's called athlete's foot often, it's not just seen in athletes. You can see it in any age group. Mostly you don't see it in pediatrics and kids, but most of the time you're going to see it in teenagers to the elderly. So it comes from a fungus. There are many type of fungi that cause athlete's foot, but they like moisture. So they like the moist, damp, dark areas, i.e. the shoe, and they tend to be in shoes that are often worn repeatedly in places that sweat. So your feet sweat a lot, perspire, and they tend to create mold, fungus, and just propagate, and it causes a skin infection.
Okay,
as far as
I'm
the nails,
to...
also...
Well, yeah, I had a question, because what's the name of that again?
Sure.
Something had a foot, had a fetus?
Tinea pedis, so it's T as in Tom, I N as in Nancy, E A pedis is P as in Paul, E Z as in dog, I S, tinea pedis. That's the proper term for it.
Gotcha. So for our listeners that, go ahead.
So
I'm just saying, I'm trying to put things together here because, like you said, it's commonly known as athlete's foot, and I was actually going to ask you the origin of that, but I'm assuming because you said, you know, damp, dark places and where shoes are used repeatedly, you know, that sounds like a locker room for, you
right,
know,
any locker
given
room,
sport.
Gyms, pools, any
right
public places, people walk barefoot around, and, you know, sometimes people think that it has to do with foot hygiene, but not necessarily. The fungus is environmental, so it doesn't mean that you don't have good hygiene if you have a foot fungus. They're most people very clean,
no,
and they just happen to have fungus. So.
But no doubt.
I
got a small foot fungus from a shower in Mexico, so that'll probably do it every time.
That probably was something else. Doc, I have a question, though. This is Jimmy, and we have a lot of runners who listen to our podcast, as well as a lot of people who are just active and work out. And one thing I was told, I'm not sure if it's true, but now that I have you on, I can ask, is that when you go to the gym and you work out, say you run on a treadmill, you go running or what have you, it's not good to take your shoes off right away, your running shoes, and put them in your bag, because that could lead to this problem. Is that true, or is that it's like one of them urban, like, you know, myths or what have you?
No, it's true, and it makes sense, because if you've been perspiring in your shoes and then you take them off and put them in a closed environment and zip up your gym bag and you don't give them a chance to air out, it can definitely lead to that. So what you should do is make what I call Lysol bombs. You take a can of Lysol and spray it down on a paper towel or something, saturate it, and stuff them in the inside of your shoes. Or better yet, just pull out the insert and throw them in the washing machine. Because some people, you don't want to wash your sneakers depending on how expensive they are, what materials they are. So instead of putting the leather shoe in the washing machine, those little inserts actually come out. And that really helps a lot. So, and Lysol pretty much kills all of that stuff, mold, fungus, all types of things. So, yes, that is true.
So is that
you shouldn't just immediately put them in. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Is that why they spray the shoes down with, like, Lysol at the bowling alley?
That's true in part. But a lot of people will come in and they've already used over-the-counter treatments for athlete's foot, and it doesn't work. All medications are not created the same. That's why we have prescription strength medications that you can only get from your podiatrist. So the Lamisil and the Lotrim and all that stuff may work, but oftentimes it's not the same. It's not the same potency or efficacy as prescription drugs. So your podiatrist is not resolving.
That's why I got my own bowling shoes.
That you guys would. Okay, John.
I was saying, you see some of those bowling shoes, man, and it's like, yo, I went and bought my own bowling shoes because I just can't.
The other thing I wanted to mention was nail fungus. So you also talked about the yellow, thick, crumbly, you know, unsightly nails. So that also is caused by a fungus. So it basically just takes over the nail plate, which is the hard part over your toenail, and it just changes it. So it makes it yellow, hard to cut, cosmetically not pleasing. And in the young, healthy population, you can give a prescription drug called Lamisil. The patient has to take a liver test first to make sure that their liver is healthy because the medication is broken down to the liver. So, but that is a very great drug. It's very effective. You take it one pill a day for 3 months, and then you just wait, and you just wait for several months for the nails to grow out.
So
that's
so
for severe cases of nail fungus in athlete's foot.
Okay. For regular fungus that's just on your foot, not the nail fungus, which you would prescribe, is it like a cream or something like that?
Right. It can be a cream or a gel. My drug of choice is I like Naftin. Naftin is a great drug. It's prescription only, and it's a great drug because I like it because the new strength is only once a day, whereas a lot of the other medications are twice a day. And but people are busy these days. No one has time to pick off their shoe more than once a day to put medication on. So I think it works well. I like the fact that it's a gel because you can put it between the toes, and it's not as thick and everything. It doesn't make your toes too moist.
I can imagine how we're just grossing our audience out with this conversation. But again, everybody, we are on with Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, and we are talking about foot fungus. And, you know, these questions come from you guys, you know, you runners out there who ask us to ask the doc these things. So don't be grossed out when you get your answers. Now, before
and
we
also
get you
because
out of here,
It's almost marathon season, so like the marathons and the 5Ks all coming up, so people are asking these questions, you know, so it's best they be prepared. See, because I learned something now, too. I'm never putting my sneaks in the gym bag ever again. Like, they're going to get, like, you know, going
to
carry them out.
No. You don't have to be paranoid. You just have to be aware.
I'm going to have shoes that have been in my trunk for like a year.
I like the Lysol bomb idea, and I'm definitely going to make sure that I have my royal bathers stop kissing my feet and leaving saliva on my toes.
Leaving
my
them back
on. If any of you guys are familiar with Coming to America, I use the same system as the royal house of Zamunda. So, you know, you got to be careful when you're having your bathed tissue feet, man. You got to make sure your feet stay dry and clean.
No doubt.
Thank you.
No doubt. And just, you know, the treatment options that she just gave us, you know, I'm assuming that the nail fungus one is taken orally because, of course, you know, you can't lift up your toenails and put some cream on it. So you got to go with something a little stronger for that.
Well, it depends. There's some that are just a superficial fungus, meaning it's just on the surface, and that can respond to the entire nail, and it's taken over everything, and it just looks really, really thick in the oral medication. Again, you have to make sure that you're medically able to take the medication. So some people ask also, can you drink when you take Lamisil? You can drink, but you don't want to be binge drinking and killing your liver while you're taking Lamisil. So you have to...
When can you kill your liver?
Lamisil and foot fungus.
And drinking
like
too much. Right.
Serious thing. Yeah.
Not a good combination.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't drink while you're trying to fix your feet. All right. So, anyway, Doc, of course, you know, we enjoy having you on every time. You guys look out for our Facebook page because we will have the Doc on to do another question and answer session pretty soon. We don't know the exact time and date, but when we know, we will put it on our Facebook page. We'll tweet it out. We'll put it on our website, on our blog, all the information that you need to know so you can come get your questions answered for free just this time. But, you know, when you've got the deep, deep questions, you're going to have to go into the office and you're going to have to pay for it. So stop being cheap.
Yes, no pictures. No uploading any pictures. Please.
No doubt. So, Doc, before we get you out of here, just let everybody know, how can they follow you on Twitter? What's the website and the phone number again, even though we shout it out every week on the show? Just let them know one more time.
Right. So the name of my practice is called Alexandria Podiatry Associates, a group of four doctors. We have two offices in Alexandria, one Alexandria and one in Annandale. Our phone number is 703-379-0700. You can also visit us on the web at alexandriapodiatry.org. And my Twitter handler is at Dr. Sweetfeet, so at DrSweetFeet. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
All right.
And
no
Facebook.
No doubt. Make sure you guys follow on Twitter.
Shameless
Instagram,
player.
We'll put all that information out as well. But, Doc, once again, it was great having you in the war room. We will have you back very soon because we have some more topics, like we told you off air, that we want to talk about. And we'll also see you on Facebook when we do the question and answer session. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Love you guys. God bless.
Thank
you,
Monique.
That's Dr. Monique Roll, everybody, of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. Make sure you check her out, alexandriapodiatry.org. Tell them War Room Sports sent you.
Yeah, that was the good old Dr. Monique Roll. Don't forget to check her out, alexandriapodiatry.org.
And like I've been saying to the, you know, before we had the conversation, for you guys who were probably grossed out, probably tuned in and said, why the hell are they talking about foot fungus? Just look down for a minute and tell me the information wasn't useful. Come on, man.
Besides, so, you guys are the ones that wanted her to
talk
about that.
I play a lot of ball.
You,
I've seen y'all take y'all.
All y'all marathon runners and anything out
is.
There.
All I know is she told me she loved me.
Yo, let's jump into some hot topics, gentlemen.
No doubt. Jim, tell us who hot topics are brought to us by, because Dr. Monique Rowe can't sponsor three segments in one night.
You already know. Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. Listen, visit audibletrial.com/warroomsports and get yourself a free audiobook. You guys know that I'm a big proponent of reading and also audiobooks. Right now I'm finishing up that Bill Russell biography, also reading a book called The Circle. I always have at least two audiobooks at one time, but the Bill Russell book is amazing. So you can get it for free. Go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports and, you know, get the Russell biography, you know, get Dr. J, Wilt Chamberlain. There's a lot of great sports biographies. Sugar Ray Leonard has one on there that I was just looking at. Mike Tyson, of course. So a lot of great sports books. But that's audibletrial.com/warroomsports.
All right. Okay. The Final Four is upon us. And we got to wrap a few minutes about the Final Four because actually War Room Sports will be down in Dallas starting tomorrow until Tuesday, you know, to check out the Final Four and the National Championship, to see what's going on in the city, take the pulse of the city, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll probably be, you know, giving a few reports maybe on our War Room Sports TV page about that, or just updating social media and just giving a report when we come back. But anyway, the Final Four, the teams are UConn, Florida, Wisconsin, and Kentucky. Now, let's revisit these brackets. Jimmy, how many people do you have in the Final Four?
I have approximately one.
On your sheet of integrity. Who that?
My
Florida?
Sheet of integrity, I have one. That's it. That's pretty much it.
Wow. This is the first time I can remember ever doing a tournament bracket where I don't have one team in my Final Four. Like, my whole bracket challenge, trying to win that money so we don't have to give it away, that was up like a week ago.
Yo,
it was
I got
Arizona imploded, and then the next day Michigan State imploded. And I'm done. I had Kansas, Michigan State, Arizona, and Louisville. So,
damn,
you know,
you got
it's just not going to it's not going to happen for me this year. Go ahead. What did you say?
Yeah. I happen to have all four. I picked all four.
Yeah.
The Austin bracket. He make his bracket as it goes along.
Yeah. he picked his final four when they get to four teams. But yo, man, it's funny
that,
because
he gonna have that retrospective billion-dollar bracket with all his pictures.
Yeah, it was funny because like I told you, I did two sheets, different sheets. In one of them, I'm in first place right now, and if Florida wins the whole thing, I win. And the crazy part is my bracket is terrible, but everybody else was so bad that I have a shot to win it. And the thing is, picking Florida, it's not nothing to brag about. Florida was literally the number one seed overall. So anybody who picked Florida to win, whoop-de-damn-do, in the words of Derek Coleman. It doesn't really mean anything, yo.
Seven,
and here's the crazy part.
Seven seed, an eight seed,
Yeah, and this is what I tell people all the time. Because people try to talk about how much skill it takes. I did two brackets, and they're not the same, so I don't have any bracket of integrity. But the one that I took the most time to study with, which is the War Room bracket, yo, I'm in like 88th place. The one that I literally filled out in about 22 seconds, and that's like giving myself 5 seconds. Yo, I have a chance to win. I was just picking anybody because I wanted to make it different than the other one. This stuff is all luck. There's no way anybody can tell me that they pick UConn. Yo, I wouldn't pick UConn just because I ain't like Kevin Ollie as a player.
Yeah, I pick UConn.
Yo, you didn't pick UConn. You hate Kevin Ollie, so you didn't pick UConn.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They're coached by
Kevin
Ollie.
I've never heard anybody
UConn.
Slander Kevin Ollie the way B. Austin slanders
Kevin
Ollie.
Yeah, I was about to say, B. Austin disrespects him more than I do. And the funny thing is, even though we always slander Kevin Ollie his entire career, we all knew that he probably going to make a great coach just because he got to see the game from the bench so long that he probably would make a good coach. They make the best coaches,
that's
right?
What I tell people. Like, you know, people who grew up fans of the game, who watch the game in a different way than the average fan, you know, you're watching for, you know, a lot of technical stuff and you're trying to learn the games so you'll be able to talk about the games, you know, kind of like we do. That's how, you know, point guards like Kevin Ollie, who sit the bench for most of the time in these leagues, that's how he sits there and sponges information from great coaches that he's played under and coached under. You know what I'm saying? And look at him. he's a young coach. He's already in the Final Four. It doesn't mean that he's going to make the Final Four year in and year out or, you know, be in it a lot. But the odds are kind of with him because that's just what UConn does. And even though Jim Calhoun left, like, the program, you know, well, for now at least, because, you know, we're not going to really know how it's going to transition once Kevin Ollie's full stamp is on the program, once every recruit sitting inside of that locker room is a Kevin Ollie recruit, then we'll kind of see, you know, what happens. But, you know, I was surprised. I mean, Shabazz Napier, what did you guys think about him before the tournament and then after the tournament? I mean, because I think I always looked at him as a really good college guard that I didn't really think was going to do much in the NBA. Now, the tournaments are
I agree
people make their name.
I put him in the same basket with Shelvin Mack. I didn't expect Shelvin Mack to do a damn thing in the league or stick. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of felt the same way about Shabazz.
I'm sort of along the same lines.
This tournament.
In terms of at this level at college, you know, he's shown his ass this tournament. But in terms of making the next step, he's kind of undersized. And when you look at the position he would have to play in the NBA and look at the guys around, like, yo, you're talking about, you know, playing at a college level to night in and night out, having to face Rondo, Deron Williams, CP3, Tony Parker. Like, yo, you're not going into playing power forward. You're going in and you're going to play against, you know, the cream of the crop. The point guard position is so stacked right now in the league that, you know, it'll be difficult for him to have any success. But he's doing his thing right now, and, you know, you never know how someone has the right work ethic, he can find a spot for himself in the league. It's funny you say that, Dev. He's like someone who sits on the bench and plays point guard. I'm sitting there thinking, like, all right, well, so when's Rick Brunson about to come back to coaching? Like,
Yo,
Rick Brunson went from a McDonald's game to a, you know,
Rick Brunson has the distinguished position of having an actual NBA record. If y'all want to know what that record is, I can share it.
Mm-hmm. What record?
Rick Brunson has never played. I think he played 9 seasons and never played on a guaranteed contract and never played more than one. Never had more than 1 year on a contract.
That's amazing. But he found a way to stay in the league. To Dez's point,
he found a way
that,
to stay, but he never had more than 1 year on his
contract. He's a Temple guard, so you know he bought defense, and he bought the ability to run a team, you know, without being flashy, without turning the ball over. So that's going to get you a spot. It's not going to make you a star. It's probably not going to make you a starter, but it'll keep you in the league. I mean, I watched Stacey Augmon play in the league for double figure years, and he never learned how to shoot a jump
shot.
But he D you
man.
Up. There's always room for dudes that can D up. There's always room for pure shooters. No matter how bad the rest of your game is, you can shoot. You got a spot in the NBA for a long time.
So now that we have left Dev and B. Austin. B. Austin got all four according to him. So B. Austin, let's get you on the record now. Based upon what's left, who's gonna win the whole thing?
Wichita State.
Ladies and gentlemen, B. Austin cares nothing about college basketball. What about you, Dev?
I mean, it's so easy for me right now to just go chalk and say Florida.
I too.
That's the most obvious pick. I think at this point, I kind of want to ride with the young boys from Kentucky because we discussed them, and when we discussed them before last week, it really wasn't about them. It was about the fact that a lot of people were calling Wichita State frauds because supposedly the first team they ran up against of any consequence, they lost. But I still think that was one of the best games, one of the two or three best games in the tournament.
Yes,
I don't think Wichita State at all showed that they were frauds. I think they went toe-to-toe with a team who was preseason number one, a team that's chock full of young talent, who's supposed to be where they are right now. And it was just a matter of
them gelling.
They got
five NBA players in the starting lineup.
Yeah, exactly. They have the talent. It's just a matter of them gelling. I heard a discussion the other day that I was listening to on the radio, and somebody was making a lot of sense. Like, what would you rather have, like, from the get-go? Would you rather have a less talented team, a much less talented team that has chemistry? And I think the answer to that has to be talent, because if you have all the talent in a college basketball setting and you have a season to try to get them, you know, some chemistry, and you have a coach as good as Kyler Perry, the chemistry is going to come. But we know when we get down to the tournament, man, we know talent trumps all usually in the tournament. And these guys are showing their behinds right now. So I want to ride with Kentucky. I think they're going to have a tough time with Wisconsin, no doubt. But I'm going to go Kentucky
like 1966.
Yeah. I'm going to go Kentucky over Wisconsin. I'm going to go Florida over Connecticut. And then I'm going to just go chalk and say that the Young Bulls make some Young Bull mistakes in the championship game, and Florida comes out with another title. So I'm going
to
go chalk. I'm going to go the easy way out.
Shout out to the Fab Five.
And, man, we see
you, Dev.
Don't keep holding because we're about to go to baseball right after this.
About to go to baseball. But, Dev, I agree with you. I think that Florida will beat UConn. I think that Kentucky will win the game. But shout out to Wisconsin, yo, because they like, slow it down. They play, like, 1968 Boston Celtics basketball. Like, when you watch them play, they are not about that fast break life. They play.
I need to see seven passes before a shot. Seven
yo,
passes.
Yo, that's how they
all
play,
four
though, King.
Corners.
That's how they play, King. They run sets, and they're very crisp, play good defense. Like, you know, for someone who's a basketball purist, they're a joy to watch. But this Kentucky team, though, man, like, yo, this young dude, Julius Randle, is the next Moses Malone, yo. This dude is a monster. I really think,
yo, and
I really
they find
I,
dudes. They just find dudes on the bench. They have people coming off the bench who hadn't played all season and just and just made an immediate impact. So.
And they got in the twins, too, but this dude, Julius Randle. Yo, Julius Randle.
Old roster.
Kentucky's whole
roster.
In my opinion, Julius Randle is the best player coming out. Like, you know, disrespect to Wiggins or Parker, but if I had the number one pick, it would be that guy. Like, that guy is relentless.
Jimmy, I agree.
You know, he's relentless. And, you know, maybe time will tell that I'm wrong, but as of right now, today, this dude is a monster. And they're playing their best basketball at the right time. They're not a normal number 8 seed, and we've been saying that they're not a normal number 8 seed. There's no way, you know, they were preseason number one for a reason, and they're gelling at the right time. But
shout out
to
Marcus Lee,
though,
man. Shout out to Marcus Lee for basically not getting clocked the whole season and then coming into the Elite Eight and catching like four putback bangs, playing great defense. And
my man like five tipping dunks in like the first half. Who does that?
Yo, and then one of them got called back on the basket interference tip.
Yeah,
I kind of thought, after the replay, I kind of thought that might have been clean. It was real borderline.
Because he got away with one. He got away with one before that. That was definitely an interference they didn't call.
Yeah, that the first one was definitely that. It was a makeup. Definitely a makeup call.
So, yeah, man, but I just want to say that I think it'll be those two teams. It'll be like, you know, a rematch of the SEC championship game that Florida barely got by and won, but they did win nonetheless. And I think Florida will prevail again. Kentucky, like Dev said, will make some young bull mistakes. Shout out to the Fab Five. But, you know, they probably won't come back like the Fab Five because them dudes is out. They're going to get them cheeks.
Shout out to Napier and Boatwright, though, because, I mean, they're going to do everything in their power to try to will Connecticut to another win.
Napier is a game.
I mean, the team is set up like a lot of teams that you've seen go far or win the NCAA tournament. I mean, they're strong at guard. I'd venture to say, you know, because of the youth of the Kentucky backcourt, I'd venture to say UConn has the best starting guards left in the tournament, and they have the pieces in the front court that's just going to do what they need to do: rebound, play defense, and get those guards the ball to put the ball in the bucket. So I mean, it should be two pretty good games, and that's what I'm hoping.
I got a quick question for you.
Go all the way down to Dallas, and the games are trash. So.
Before we jump into the baseball, I got a quick question for you. We talked about like some teams we've seen win a tournament with the way they're constructed. What player do you think, since you've been watching basketball, had the most amazing tournament run?
True.
Ever of all time.
That you've seen. Now, I'm not gonna say before. I don't want to hear you say, you know, Jack Sikma, nobody like that. But I'm talking about the Chiefs thing. I know who it is up top. I didn't even have to think twice. I know who mine is.
Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf, prior to his shahada.
I don't know, man. That's a difficult one. That's a difficult one.
All right, we'll put that out to social media. But I just want to throw my answer out there. The most amazing tournament that I've seen, like Danny Manning. For those who don't remember,
he did just
Danny
take the tournament over. He disrespected
the
tournament.
Yeah, he did.
Yo, he disrespected the whole tournament. I can't tell you. Nobody else was on the squad either, yo.
Yo, I don't even remember. I don't remember a whole era because of Danny Manning. It felt like he was there for 7 years.
Danny Manning in college, that tournament run that he had, yo, it, as a matter of fact, it was like the Fresh Prince when they say, yo, pass the ball to Will. Like, I don't care if you're open. Pass the ball to Will. Yo, that's
it
how it was
Danny.
That tournament run. He wrecked. He wrecked shop.
We're
put it out there.
The mayor back on the line.
Mayor, get some baseball talking.
Yeah, what's good, man?
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, opening week of baseball and some things that we've observed so far. You know, we go for this about 5 minutes, and then we get you out of here so we can move on. But we know you're a baseball head. You're definitely a baseball head. So,
yes, sir.
Opening day. First of all, let's get some of the little things, not actually the play,
The international opening day.
The American opening
day.
I saw you and your crusade to try to tell some heads that didn't really know that the season had actually started. You know, a minute.
Yeah, it was already probably.
But no, we talking about the opening day that the lay fan knows about.
Okay.
We got instant replay now in baseball, and what I kind of noticed from the few games I watched, because you know it was actually in effect. You know, they were using it, and I think it's a good thing because a lot of those close calls the umpires don't get right, and they were using the replay and getting them right. But we already know how long a baseball game can be. Like, what's the trade off? Like, either get this right or shorten the game. Like, what's more important to you?
To me, it's getting the call right. And I think that, you know, I'm a proponent of, and this is just me talking, I'm a proponent of getting rid of the umpires, so
Because I'm one of them that says the umpires. No, listen. Listen.
Guy,
one of those that think the umpire is never supposed to be wrong. The umpires are the arbiter of the game. The umpire is never supposed to be wrong. Ever. If we can't rely on the umpires to make the correct calls, what do we got? What
baseball,
do we have if we can't rely on the umpires?
In its purest form, it's a subjective sport. Because balls and strikes are subjective. Whether or not he beat out that run, that, now that part is not supposed to be subjective, but
the neighborhood
human
play,
eye sometimes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is crazy that a whole sport, a billion-dollar sport, is based on, you know, somebody's opinion, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That he thinks
exactly.
That ball didn't go over the plate. Everybody who's rooting for the pitcher in that team thinks the ball did go over the plate. Everybody who's rooting for the team with the batter is cool with what the umpire just said. Like, it's crazy. It is crazy.
Today, tomorrow, it might go against them. You know,
right?
Yeah,
right,
man.
Right.
But,
I mean,
yeah, but
interesting sport, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, what were you saying about opening day?
Other things that we noticed on opening day. I want to ask you, brothers, real quick about Ryan Braun and the reception he got. And I mean, it was a home game, so you kind of expect it. But breaking it down, because there's a lot of people out there now. Man, I don't know where you fall on the whole PED thing. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are very, very judgmental of that situation. I'm not saying they're wrong or anything, but they're very judgmental of that situation. But what I've come to find out that it's really about who it is, because even the people who say, yeah, these guys who cheat should be, you know, banned from the game and this and that, it seems like when it's their guy, it's a whole different story, because that man got a standing ovation like he was out with, you know, some kind of disease that he beat and then came back. They weren't cheering like,
though,
you know, this dude just cheated the game, lied about it a couple of times,
messed up
somebody else's career, and then, you know.
Right.
So what did you think
got
about that?
Got people fired, all that, yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe it's, you know, Milwaukee is, they're more understanding or whatever. I don't know. Because I know if they would have been
somewhere
else
drunk
where the light would have been real bright on him, he would have got really a different type of reception or whatever. But, you know, and I didn't get it. I didn't get it myself. I did not get it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when they hit the road, it's going to be a different story.
It's going to be a whole totally different situation. But I guess he got
guaranteed
comfort in being home or whatever.
I guarantee you those folks in Milwaukee, you know, they don't treat Barry Bonds' name when that comes up or A-Rod's name. I guarantee you they don't treat him like that. Like,
or
I understand somebody being one of yours.
Probably
but
even Hank Aaron. He played for them. Yeah.
Yeah, so
you know.
Hey, Jimmy, what did you think when you saw Ryan Braun getting like a 2-minute standing ovation, man?
I mean, I said only in America, Don King voice.
No. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, man.
I like the point that you made there about people being picking and choosing how they react to a person who has been being guilty of something based on their emotional attachment to that particular celebrity or athlete. Because it's like you can.
Right.
You know, you can run over a guy and kill him due to drunk driving, and it's no problem. Or you can kill some dogs and go to jail, and you're never out running. So it's all based on perception of that particular athlete. So that's kind of with the whole Ryan Braun thing. I think that he's kind of a poster boy for MLB. Besides that incident, kind of like I just think it's more so about how people feel about him as opposed to how they feel about performance-enhancing.
It's crazy,
drugs.
Though, because his situation
was
real scummy.
Yeah, that's why it was different. Yeah, that's why his thing was kind of
Chester under the
you know
bus.
What I mean?
Yeah,
so,
they forgave
but,
him
you know, he's back to playing, doing his thing, and they received him well. So, hey, Milwaukee, that's
I mean,
all I can say to that.
It's the nature of the beast, man. It's the nature of sports in general. When you're fanatic about an organization or a team, like, if that's one of your best guys, like, you want the dude back, like, no matter what happens. So, I mean, it's not like I don't get it. It's just weird because you know they wouldn't have treated somebody else like that.
Right.
But,
right.
Hey, Ryan Braun is their guy, NL MVP, you know, when he comes back. And they're happy. I mean, it's the same way. Like, everybody in Philly hated Riley Cooper for 5 minutes, and then the dude actually started catching touchdowns.
Yeah, that's right. That's
they
right.
never expected that. So everybody thought, I'm going to hate Riley Cooper forever. So he'd start catching touchdowns, and, you know,
and then they forgot about him. But, yeah,
even the same thing with Mike Vick, because the stuff that Philly fans said about him when he was supposedly coming to the team and who wasn't going to root for the team anymore, Mike Vick lit him up that first year in 2010, and Eagles fans, the Jets fans are screaming on him now,
like they, you know, trying to bring up rehash this whole dog scenario, like he's playing for your team or whatever. Live with that. When he start rocking him this week, then it's going to be a whole different scenario. So
I actually went to the
about
Jets
that.
Facebook page and their Twitter page. Yeah, what you're saying is definitely true. I mean, they were going hard. I'm talking about people talking about, I'm a 30-year fan and I will not root for the Jets anymore.
Let Mike Vick either
win that job or let Geno get hurt. And you know Mike Vick is good to catch lightning in a bottle for about 3 games per season before he gets injured.
Let Mike Vick catch that lightning in a bottle. Very interesting season with the Jets. Let him catch
that lightning in a bottle like he did for a few games in Philly. And watch how all those people start changing their tune. As soon as they feel like they can compete with the Patriots, it's a wrap. All right, but real quick, man, before we move off, tell us what's up with your Yankees, man. How they look?
Listen, man, opening night, I was like, come on, man. You know, I'm a dude that sees it for what it is. I don't to that rah rah this and that and the third. You got to show me something different. CeCe was getting battered by the Houston Astros. We knew from last year that he lost velocity on his fastball, but now it was in our face, you know what I'm saying? We was kind of like letting him live. And he was getting clobbered, sir. So I'm not feeling our 0-2. And we lost last night, so now we 0-2. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. Martin Sheller throwing the ball all over the field, Carlos Beltran throwing the ball all over the field. I don't know. I picked them to win the World Series.
It's 2 games in a marathon, so they can get it together. But I feel your pain as a Philadelphia fan because even though we won opening night, you know, we dropped the next two after that, but we won opening night, but Cliff
Lee. It was
like
14-10 or something like that, right?
Yo, Cliff Lee got the win and gave up like 10 runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, and first of all, the weakness of the Philadelphia team this season is supposed to be, you know, the bats. They're not supposed to be able to score like that. And I think it was an aberration. This is a team who, you know, people feared their bats 3-4 seasons ago. Now it's supposed to be their weakness. You know, the starting pitching is supposed to be what holds them down. They go out on opening night, Cliff Lee gets battered around and still miraculously gets the win. So that's definitely not a recipe for success because, you know, just as expected, the next two games, the bats kind of died back down to where they're supposed to be. So we'll see. Jimmy, what did you think about Cliff Lee and CeCe getting smacked around?
It's funny because you are absolutely right. I was talking to people before the game started, and I was like, well, you know, at least we got pitching because the offense is going to struggle a little bit this year. And so I'm sitting there, and then the game started. Once the grand slam happened, I'm screaming like, yo!
We got Cliff Lee with a 6-0, 6-1 lead. We good.
Exactly. I'm like, yo, but this is the great thing about sports. As much as we talk about it, like, they have to let it play out, which is why it's the greatest entertainment because the drama. And you just never know because the next two games, like you said, you know, the struggle is real. But we'll see what happens, man. You know,
I was really excited about this season as I was last year. Here's the thing, Dad. You know, as a pitching being in the strength, we lost on a walk-off walk last night from Papelbon. Exactly. Here's the thing about being a Phillies fan, right? For so long as a Phillies fan, you didn't expect anything.
then they had that run, you know, where they became one of the best teams. They won a World Series. We went to the parade. We saw, got flashed by some Nubian white queens, and, you know, we enjoyed ourselves. And then you start believing, like, yo, we're going to do it again. And it doesn't happen. And I think I'm starting to go back into my shell.
And then the mayor
before.
And the Yankees come along and take away our glory.
Yeah, pretty much.
We had to snatch it away from y'all.
Now it's like that. I think I'm almost back. I'm almost back to not believing no more.
Yeah,
it's all good, man. Your time will come, man. You know, experience like three.
That's easy to say for somebody with 28,000
pennies. That's a lovely thing. Three parades in a row, man. That's a lovely thing, man. You know, you can plan your day around it. You know what I'm saying?
No. All right, but look, man. Before we get you out of here, you said you got the Yankees in the World Series.
Yankees and the Cardinals. That's my World
Yankees
Series
Cardinals.
Pick, the Yankees and the Cardinals.
Okay.
Kind of like dedication to Derek Jeter, man. You know what I mean? See if we can do it one last time, make it happen. You know what I'm saying?
All right, let everybody know where they can hear your show. Cause we already told them where they can hear it in like 2 weeks. We've been telling them all day. But let them know where they can hear your show now and where they can hear it live.
Just check it out. Yo, this is the mayor in the building, man, live on War Room Sports and all that. Check me out, man, after further review, Tuesday nights, man, 8 to 10 p.m. on GQ Palace Radio, man. You know what I'm saying? The number to dial, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation and holler at your boy. Shout out to Dev, man. Shout out to the whole War Room Sports unit, man. Check me out 3 times a week on War Room Sports and all that, man. I appreciate y'all looking out. Listen, man, I'm out. We'll holler.
All right, man. Peace.
All right.
Hey, Dev, real quick, we got some conversation going in the chat room. I just wanted to point out, shout out to Jetty Mar and Skyview. Going back to our question, Patrick Ewing has some beastly games in the tournament, but Jetty Mar brings up one that definitely will make my top, you know, three, which was Glenn Rice's tournament run in 89. Glenn Rice went ballistic.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, definitely did.
Glenn,
you know, so want to point that comment out. In terms of the Phillies, man, I think I'm almost
back. None of these dudes got it in like Clea Anthony Early, though. Shout out to Clea Anthony Early. I think his name's Cleophas, wasn't his name?
Cleophas.
All right,
yeah.
Few things before we get into this Deshaun Jackson conversation. Of course, we know that Tiger is having back surgery, so he's going to miss the Masters. Phil might miss the Masters as well. What is this going to do for ratings, real quick? So I was like, I mean, we know there's golf purists out there. You know, that part of the game's not going to struggle.
Yeah, but Phil and Tiger
We know there's a great contingency of people who only watch to watch Tiger. And, you know, Phil's another big name. I'm pretty sure he has some people that tune in and see him, or at least see him go against Tiger. So what do you guys think that's going to do for the ratings?
That's like telling me the Thunder and Heat are going to play, but LeBron and Durant are both out.
Especially in today's NBA. Like, back in the day, that might have been different. Like, all right, I'll watch this anyway. But
yeah, not today. Like, no. I mean,
I don't know.
That's got to be bad for the Masters.
It's ironic that, like, the most physically fit golfer of all time is the dude whose body is breaking down before everybody else's.
Yo,
this might not be the sport for everything.
Is this karma? I mean, is this a little
karma
bit of karma?
What?
I don't
winning?
Know.
For what? Making love to a
karma.
Bunch of women?
I don't know.
If you think that athletes get karma for cheating, then, like,
everybody should
be
dropped dead right now. Everybody in sports should just drop dead right now.
You think he should have did what Shaq did and just paid him off?
It could be withdrawal.
Kobe voice.
It could be a situation where he needs the toots to be successful. You know, so the karma is about him removing the toots from his life. He needs them. His body is going through withdrawal without his fair share of white pound of flesh.
I understand what you're saying. Basically, he had a habit of producing when he got the gushy-wushy, and now that he don't get the gushy-wushy, he can't produce the same anymore. I get what you're saying.
Not enough Jamie Davis.
Look, we're going to move on from that because y'all crazy. Before we talk about the show, one last thing. Like, we just want to, first of all, you know, because we're businessmen, you know, before everybody else here in the war room. Like, a lot of you guys may not know that, you know. We're businessmen. So we can appreciate, quote-unquote, tactics in the business world that gets it done. Like, when you do what you have to do to get it done. And Samsung has this new marketing strategy that we here in the war room call Brody marketing. And we call it Brody marketing is because, you know, they do things at sites where they're going to get a whole lot of attention, and the people that they're getting the attention from had no idea that they were even a part of a million-dollar Samsung ad. And the latest in this is has something to do with the Boston Red Sox and their visit to the White House. David Ortiz, with his Samsung phone, took a selfie. Who is a Samsung endorser, I have to add that in there, took a selfie of himself and President Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama is just thinking, you know, this is just a selfie. This is a memory for David Ortiz, which it will be. However, Samsung took the photo and used it in their marketing campaign. So, you know, you got Ortiz there. You got the President of the United States in a Samsung ad. He never said anything about it. The White House was kind of peeved about this, but and they did the same thing basically at the Oscars because they paid the Academy and the host to go ahead and take that selfie, which basically shut down the internet that night. And voila, you have another million-dollar endorsement. And so what do you guys think real quick? Because I know everybody want to hear. They want to talk about DeSean Jackson. Brody marketing.
I ain't mad at it. It's something.
Yo,
that,
man.
I'm mad we didn't get the picture. I mean, it's something we can do. All I
want to say is, yo, salute to Samsung for their brilliant marketing. Their marketing budget must be like $6 billion per quarter because Samsung at this point, Samsung was chasing Apple at this point. They've caught up to Apple, and now they make inferior products, but they spend so much money on marketing that people... No, I'm talking about on some real I am a complete tech head. I buy tech for the sake of buying tech, and I try everything. So the thing about it is, like, they got to the point where they make inferior products, but their marketing is so strong that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yo, you tell people think there's only two phones in existence these days. They're like, you got an iPhone or a Galaxy. That's what they think.
Or a Galaxy, exactly. And that's the funny thing, Jim, because you guys know that, you know, last week, I was in the market for a new phone, and it was between the new HTC One and the Samsung S5. And all the reviews that I watched and all the things that I came out with, asking my tech head friends and my partners here at War Room Sports, I came to the conclusion that the HTC One is probably a far superior piece of equipment, but you know, when they both drop full time, like, Samsung is gonna slaughter HTC.
Yo, marketing is important,
revenue.
Yo.
By the way, I bought the HTC because I'm not just, you know, a blind follower of what's popular. So,
but you're also a marketing major, so you understand and appreciate the fact that, yo, marketing matters, yo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's Brody marketing.
I might not
be able to get down with the photo Brody marketing because it's already difficult enough for me to, you know, ask dudes to take photos with me. Like, we have a few of those out there because we feel that we have to do it because, you know, sports fans love that kind of stuff. They like to see the people that they see on TV all the time. But I'm really uncomfortable with that. So I don't think, like if we had a Brody marketing campaign, like, y'all would – try to fire me because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm saying that.
So essentially, what that translates to is you're uncomfortable with Richard riding for the sake of getting a picture. I got you. Now,
I disagree with the money
being spent, because I actually think they're getting more bang for their buck and more return on this selfie movement because it doesn't cost that much. Other than paying David Ortiz, you're paying him his whatever, but you don't have a lot of production costs with taking a selfie shot. There was no real cost for that. other than what you paid David Ortiz. So it's
but
brilliant.
Jim, like their marketing budget that Jim was talking about, I mean, once the real push for the S5 comes out, you're going to see what he's talking about because they're going to – like you're going to be watching the TV show. And then all five commercials, when they take a commercial break, are probably going to be Samsung commercials.
They got LeBron. They got Kevin Hart. Yo, they paid your man Sean Carter a bunch of bread. Like, yo, look, they don't mind spending bread. That's all I'm saying. Everybody getting rich on them.
They got it, man.
And it's working.
Yeah.
It's working.
They got it.
Yo, we could change the movement, though. We can combine the selfie movement with the knockout game, and that's how we can get our pitcher game up.
Oh, knockout
selfie.
Knockout selfie.
Knockout. I just said, it's like it's Samsung and it's Apple. Most people think that those are the only two phones in existence.
They forgot all about
I've never owned
about
a
LG,
I mean,
and LG and HTC.
I bought my wife
four BlackBerry.
Galaxy.
Four BlackBerry.
A Galaxy Tab. Black who? Black what?
BlackBerry is dead.
Yeah, but I bought my wife
Rest
a Galaxy
peace.
Tablet. That's the only Samsung phone-type equipment that I've ever owned. But, I mean, I'm not, you
Rest
know,
in peace.
I like the stuff, so that's why it was actually on my list, but. You know, I chose
yeah, but,
but
shout out
to
their marketing,
for their Brody marketing.
Shout out David Ortiz too for having the gumption to do that. There's one thing to do that at the Oscars, but to do that to the leader of the free world, that is gangster, yo.
It definitely is because you know you do it and it's just your keepsake. It's all good, but you did it and you just publicized it, not just on Twitter.
Brody.
Yo, you basically sold it to Samsung.
Yo, you brought the president's image and sold it, yo. That's gangster, yo. Get Jack Bauer on Ortiz, man.
Red Sox better not win the chip again. They might not be welcome back in the White House. All right, man. DeSean Jackson, we talked about it all week. I'm kind of tired of talking about it, but we got to do it because this is what we do. DeSean Jackson, we know about how he was unceremoniously dropped from the Philadelphia Eagles last week amidst the rumors, the allegations of him being gang-related.
Affiliated.
Because, you know, people affiliated. Yeah. Affiliated. We know how, you know, that the world flipped on their heads about that whole thing. Now he's landed in Washington. Let's talk about DeSean Jackson, the player. Let's talk about what this signing means for Washington and what this signing means for the Philadelphia Eagles. Because we've talked to a lot of people on both sides of the carpet, both sides of the spectrum. Not just the fan spectrum of what team they vote for, but the emotional spectrum, because we've seen hundreds of and thousands of Eagles fans who basically have reacted as if the team just dropped Jerry Rice. And I've been wondering since Friday afternoon, at what point did DeSean Jackson become Jerry Rice? Because if I hear that he's irreplaceable one more time, I'm liable to snap. And then you have the other side of the emotional spectrum with the Washington fans. You know, it's already well documented
overrated.
How, you know, excited they get on certain things. So I'm going to give them credit on this, though. I haven't heard a lot of Washington fans saying just because they have DeSean, they're going to the Super Bowl or anything like that. But they are talking
Not
about
yet.
How explosive
Not
their
yet.
Offense is going to be.
Not yet.
And it really does have the potential to be explosive. And I do think that DeSean Jackson is a very good signer for the Redskins. My whole thing about people on both sides of the spectrum, B. Austin, is just when did DeSean Jackson become Randy Moss? Like, why? Like,
right.
I know it's kind of a big deal when a top 15 receiver, even though everybody thinks
top
he's 20. Like top five now, top 15 receiver gets released all of a sudden, and, you know, you go scoop him up before he gets on too many people's radar. So I give the Redskins props for that. They have, like, a lot of people will criticize them because they have a lot of other things to address, but at the same time, if something falls into your lap, then that sometimes you just have to go with the flow and worry about the other stuff down the road. So what do you think about DeSean landing in Washington? What do you think the prospects are for that team, for that offense, going forward this season?
I don't think that they addressed – well, first, I mean, there's so many angles to address this. First of all, I'll say this for our listeners who are Philadelphia Eagles fans. Number one, DeSean Jackson was a very good football player. He's a good wide receiver. He is not, as Dev said, top 15. He's not top 15. He's not a number one receiver. He is very talented. He is very talented, but we'll be okay offensively. We have enough tools. We have enough weapons that fit within the spread concept to say that we will we'll be good. We'll be good within the context of the spread offense. Now, with his move to Washington,
while you're on that,
I agree.
Let me ask you a question, though. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Now that you said that, because then, you know, you also have that contingency of Eagles fans who, in Chip we trust. Like, Chip Kelly didn't have to do mm-hmm. much to for these people to believe in him 100%. Because we've seen mm-hmm. coaches come in, have a good season, and then stink to high hell for the rest of their tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure why sports fans always fall for that. I'm not saying Chip's, mm-hmm. you know, not a good coach, but I'm still in the wait-and-see mode with him. So do you think it's because
absolutely.
He's this genius that everybody thinks he is, that Deshaun's absence won't be felt that much, or you just think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the system that they're running, you know, I don't know. Like, did he fit that anyway? I know he had his best season.
No,
moving
he didn't, and that's something that we also should talk about. So, Chip Kelly's game, the spread offense relies on the ability to create spacing, get one-on-one matchups for players to win one-on-one battles in sort of a horizontal passing game with some deep shots here and there. But the basic principles of that spread is to passes 10 yards and under from the line of scrimmage, one-on-one, and you get the player to actually get yards after catch or run after catch. And so Deshaun is more of a deep threat. So his whole thing is with Michael Vick, the first 8 games of the season, you saw Deshaun Jackson have 6 100-yard receiving games and no games under 5 catches because Mike Vick is more within Chip's offense is more of a running threat. So there's a lot of pass play action opportunity, play action passes that would send Deshaun deep down the field. With Nick Foles is more, his game is more predicated on short to intermediate anticipatory accurate throwing. And so he's going to drop back and actually hit target moving 10, 15, 20 yards downfield, even with the spread concepts around, so Deshaun doesn't get utilized in the same facet. So when Foles moved into the starting lineup, the last 8 games, Deshaun had 2 100-yard games and only 2 games, or 2 games over 100 yards and only 2 games over 5 catches. So his production tailed off considerably with Nick Foles as the starter. So that's kind of what we saw. And then there will be people that will talk about his value in the punt return game. The last 2 seasons, he's had 32 punt returns with an average of 5.7 yards per return.
3 seasons.
Last 3 seasons. So, you know, is he valuable? Absolutely. He's still going to be a huge deep threat. I had an issue with the way the Eagles handled the situation because I thought they could have just manned up and just said, we don't want him anymore for a $12.5 million cap hit. See, I'm dollars and cents, and I'm looking at the capology of this all. My only issue is I don't want Deshaun Jackson on my roster for $12.5 million. I want.
Yeah, I mean, and that's
million.
what it comes down to, B. Austin. It comes down to the Eagles overpaying Deshaun Jackson in the first place,
mm-hmm.
and now they stumbled over themselves to try to you know, remedy what they did. You know, Deshaun Jackson is not a $10-11 million receiver. I mean, prior to last season, he hadn't caught more than 62 balls in a season. And, of course, he's a deep threat.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the fastest dude in the NFL. I mean, you know, just top-end speed. Like,
he's top 10 fast.
I don't know what that
is. Top 10 fast.
But there's a few things that Deshaun Jackson won't do. Deshaun Jackson will not go across the middle. He learned, you know, he tried that a few times.
You saw what happened in that Atlanta game. That Atlanta game changed his whole mind about going across the middle.
Yeah. And, I mean, and even before that, it's not like he was ready and willing to do that anyway. And then that just showed us, you know, he probably said, see, you know, that's why I didn't want to do that. He's a shrimp. He's not going to block.
All right.
He's definitely not going to block. And then there's the – you think about where he's playing now. You know, Robert Griffin III likes to extend plays a lot. DeSean Jackson usually when he's the read, once the quarterback goes away from his read, DeSean, at that point, he stops trying to get open. Now, Robert Griffin III is the type of quarterback who's going to extend plays. So just because he went past you in his progressions doesn't mean on some plays that he might not come back to you. And we've seen plenty of times DeSean Jackson with his hand up, he doesn't get the ball thrown his way, the play is still going on, and he just stops.
All right,
you know
well,
what
here's
saying?
The
but,
thing. Here's the thing about this entire D-Jack situation. There are two things at play when talking about this situation. You have strictly the football X's and O's, and then you have everything else surrounding his release. We don't really have to get into too much of that. We talked about that ad nauseum, and I have thoughts on that as well. But in terms of from a football standpoint, we have a comment in our chat room that, you know, the value of speed. There's a value at speedster, wide receiver, and how
the
Eagles won't be able to utilize.
There's a comment in the chat room that DeSean Jackson does everything for everybody. That's basically
well,
what Scott's saying. Like, geez.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this, though. It's one of these things where it's all about value in the NFL. And if you're Chip Kelly and you're coming in, you want to, like, make your presence felt with the team in the locker room. You want to establish yourself. You got rid of Vic. You let this guy go. Because, first of all, the one thing that I've never heard anyone talking about, people are talking about this whole this gangbanger thing and whether he quits on plays and this. But, yo, he was making a lot of money. He was making number one receiver money. And
man,
to be honest with you, I'm not an Eagles fan per se. I root for the home team, but I'm not an Eagles fan per se. But one thing I can say is I don't think he's the best receiver on that team. I think when healthy, Maxim was the better receiver. Now, with that being said, he does have speed, right? But the thing is, there are a lot of receivers coming out in this draft who have speed. So if you're a coach or a talent evaluator, you probably say, listen, I can pick up this rookie who can take the top off the defense and get him for one-third of what I'm paying this guy, even if that much. You know, so I think the value comes into play. What did he mean to the team from a value standpoint? And also, Chip Kelly wants this to be
Jimmy,
his team. That's Andy Reid's draft. He
Jimmy,
has no allegiance
Jimmy just hit
to
it
DeSean
all.
Jackson.
Jimmy just hit it all on the head, man. Jimmy just hit the
it's
nail
all
on the head.
About the money, man. Straight cash, homie. In the words of the great Randy
Moss,
straight cash, homie. But for me, the only thing that bothers
me
is
this whole
situation.
Well, according to some of these folks, he is Randy Moss now. So in the words of the great
You know what it is? Let's address that. Let's address that for what it is. That is the ESPN SportsCenter generation. The big play is overvalued. The big play is overvalued because if you ask the average casual fan who's the better player, Anquan Boldin or DeSean Jackson, don't factor in age. Don't factor in age because from an age standpoint, you can't take Anquan. Skill set-wise, Anquan is by far the more productive. Even Brandon Marshall, a guy like Brandon Marshall, far more productive. But the plays that they make aren't going to be as spectacular. It's not going to be the big bomb with the 70-yard air. So people kind of get caught up in those things, and they overvalue a guy that only runs
I think that's part of it, but also part of it is you're talking to a Redskins fan.
And DeSean's not going to get bad throws either. He's not going to get bad throws like Randy
Moss. The Redskins have fans all across this nation. It's not just in that area, and they are they drink the Kool-Aid every year. There isn't a year. I have two cousins I talk to every day who are Redskins fans. And there isn't a year, regardless of who's on their roster, where they're not going to the bowl. It doesn't matter who's on their team. Like, yo, it doesn't matter. You know, I seen them go from 1 year calling McNabb the worst player in the league until he signs with them, and now they're going to the bowl because they have him. Like, it doesn't matter who's on their team.
You know,
they're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I think that has a lot to do with why everybody's so enamored with DeSean Jackson in Washington as well, because if you think back to his time in Philadelphia, a lot of his best games came against the Redskins. So if they see this dude come in to FedEx Field and dominate them the way that he has, and, you know, he truly, in my opinion, like, there's not a lot of teams that he just put it on like that.
Oh, no, he definitely did. He definitely did on their team.
They're taking all that into account, but they're not – they're giving
they
him
had
all
a
the
terrible
credit
secondary.
instead of blaming, like, they're forgetting that their defense has, their secondary has always been kind of weak, you know, in DeSean Jackson's time. So, you know, watch how much credit you give him, because
for all of the spectacular stuff we've seen him do, and we have people in the chat room talking about how valuable he is, go look at his playoff logs. In big games, when teams decide that they're not going to get beat by the deep ball, you know, they take him out of the game. And if he was so much of a decoy like everybody's saying, then the Eagles would have won more of these games. All of these games were basically losses except for the 1 year they went on the run and then lost to the Cardinals in the NFC Championship game. DeSean Jackson has disappeared. He's pulled disappearing acts in the playoffs on numerous occasions.
And also,
like his
also,
playoff
real
numbers
quick,
or something, in six games he has like – but go ahead, Jim. I'll look that up.
I was going to say, to Skyview's point, I understand the point that Skyview's trying to make in
terms
of –
he's a Raiders
of,
fan,
of,
though, so he's used to putting all
yeah,
the
– yeah, he's used to putting
speed,
the fast guys. But I understand the point that he's trying to make in terms of guys being so fast, they open it up for everybody else. Although Welker was productive before and after Randy Moss. Let's not just say
people
that
always
Randy Moss
listen,
made
listen,
Wes 100
Welker. Balls
listen,
every year.
A number.
Yeah, but I mean,
number,
but I get
one,
his point.
One,
I get his point.
A true number one receiver, a true number one receiver who has the skill set of not only being fast, but adjusting the balls, making catches. When they take the top off of the defense, meaning I've got a safety drifting over, whether it's cover two and you've got a guy assigned outside of the hashes, or it's single high and that guy is cheating, they are going to make catches in that bracket coverage. They're going to make plays against two and three defenders. Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, these are guys, now Josh Gordon, these are guys that make those catches. Jeffries, the dude, the new cat for the Bears.
Chicago.
These are guys that make plays under Chicago, yeah, under those conditions. DeSean Jackson, yes, will go with him, but against a good defense, he's not making catches against that. So him being a decoy, cool. I'm fine with that. I just can't pay a decoy $12 million.
And
I can't pay
exactly,
$12 million
it, Austin,
to run
that's
up the
point.
Field.
Let me make this last point because yeah. one thing that I haven't heard brought up, and we always stress this when we talk football X's and O's, is the wide receiver position itself is the most dependent position in football.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a talent evaluator, I wouldn't pay any receiver $10 million, including Calvin Johnson. Because at the end of the day,
if you don't have anybody to throw him the ball, then it doesn't matter.
If you don't have anybody to throw him the ball, I don't care. How many championship rings does Randy Moss or T.O. have? And they've arguably been the best two receivers of the last 10 years. Well,
20 years.
A couple years, but of their generation.
Right.
So my thing is, I wouldn't pay any receiver $12 million, let alone a guy who runs one route. The wide receiver position is the most dependent position in all of football. So put it like this.
Right.
Seattle just won the championship. Who the hell is on their receiving corps? That was their
By the way, Jim, just one quick point.
How many DeSean Jackson
for everybody, because when we talk about speedy receivers and stuff, Wes Welker is always the case study. And how he should give Randy Moss his check and all this kind of stuff. Randy Moss wasn't even in the NFL in 2011. He was retired, and Wes Welker had his best season. He had 122 catches. He's had more catches, but he also had 123 1 year. But in 2011, he had 122 catches, 1,569 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
Yeah!
Randy Moss was watching from the couch. So, like,
yeah, I mean, and people always say that,
but
I get the point from an X's and O's standpoint, how you have speed to open things up. I get that. When you have any dominant player, they take the attention from the other player. Like, I've seen the Vikings play, and they do a fake to Adrian Peterson, and the receivers are running by themselves because the whole defense jumps to Peterson.
Of course,
so
but the key word that you just said, Jimmy, is dominant. Now, DeSean decides when he goes to Washington,
he's
not a dominant football player. He's
and,
not,
and don't take
no. Randy
the
Moss
way
is dominant
I will
because when Culpepper
offense,
throws a bad ball, Randy Moss can just go up and get it. That's dominance.
And don't take it wrong with those listening live and those also listening on the podcast. We're not trying to poop on DeSean Jackson. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at the amount of money he was due, or even what the Skins paid him, like, yo, I'm not paying any receiver that amount of money. And you can bring all the other stuff in about the people he hangs around and all that, but it all goes back to money.
Yeah,
yo, Calvin Johnson could walk in the locker room with Tookie Williams and he'd still be on his team regardless of how much money he makes because it's about the value you bring to your team. It's about the value you bring to your team.
My whole thing with Washington fans was, all right, you've paid this gentleman $10 million a season. He is a good fit He's a good fit for your offense. What have you done to improve the line, the offensive line that's protecting your franchise star quarterback, and what have you done to improve a 4-12 defense? What moves have you made to improve? To be fair, would that be Austin, like,
because I tell people the same thing. I can't be a hypocrite because people talk about Deshaun being gone, and I tell people, like, calm down. Like, did anybody cancel the draft? Like, is free agency over? So, gotcha. People can be replaced. Now, the Redskins, the Washington team doesn't really – they don't have the high picks that you might require to build the team as fast as they want to build it. But in this situation, like I said, and I want to clarify for everybody out there, because I know a lot of Skins fans out there, oh, they're hating like a mug, they're hating Joe. I don't want to hear that. Miss me with that. Look, Deshaun Jackson's a very good player. I think it was a very good pickup for the Redskins. I think, among other things, I don't think the contract they gave him was too terrible because they left themselves wiggle room to get out of it. $16 million of that $24 million is guaranteed. So, you know, they've left themselves some room to get out of it. But I don't want to sit here and point at what they haven't addressed in all of this because this was something that wasn't supposed to happen. Deshaun Jackson didn't come into this period of free agency as a free agent. He wasn't supposed to be out there. So if he falls into your lap, and it's easy to see why he fell into their lap because they're playing off his emotions. They're like, yo, we can get this guy because he's going to want to get revenge on these, you know, these jackasses over here who smeared his name and all this kind of stuff, whether it was the Eagles or not, or NewJersey.com, because everybody swears they know everything, and nothing solid has actually said that the Eagles – from everything I've seen, the Eagles won't even speak on the whole gang thing. But that's just me, but everybody else knows what goes on in the inner workings of everything. But that's another point. So I can't knock them for not, you know, what they haven't addressed, because this is something that they weren't expecting. So I'm not, you know, I would expect them to go – with it. Now let's talk about their offense now. They do have some good weapons. They have the potential to be very explosive. I've always liked Pierre Garçon. I've actually gained more of a respect for him watching him in Washington because he showed this grittiness and this toughness that I didn't know he had. Jordan Reed, I'm a big fan of his.
Everybody is well documented
how we feel about Alfred Morris in the war room. So it's crazy because as much as they think we hate because we have opposing views on certain things, like a lot of their players, we big up all the time. So the question mark for me is the quarterback. He had a great rookie season, but we all, you know, we've explained, you know, the flaws and the coddling and that. Like last season, I thought it was his chance to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he really is a quarterback that can run and not vice versa. And I don't think he did that. And I don't really think you can use the knee as an excuse of why he didn't do that, because the knee gave him the perfect opportunity to prove that he was this passer that everybody said. So if he comes back and he improves with the weapons that he has, they definitely have the chance to be explosive. But defense is a part of the game too. So what are y'all thoughts on
If they continue to utilize Alfred Morris, they have a balanced attack, and Alfred Morris can sustain his current career trajectory and arc, they'll be all right. Because, I mean, offensively, being completely objective, Alfred Morris and, to me, Jordan Reed are the best two talents on that offense. Alfred Morris and Jordan Reed, probably followed by Pierre Garçon, and then Bob Norvith, the cornball brother at quarterback. Like, that's my nucleus. I think Alfred Morris is the engine that makes that offense go. So if he's successful, it'll open a whole lot up, especially with a talent like Deshaun Jackson on the outside and Pierre Garçon being able to run the complete route tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jordan Reed is a mismatch for anybody.
We spoke on him early in the season before Washington fans even realized. We said he was going to take that man's job, and you know, I guess with Fred Davis, that ain't that hard to do. But
Fred Davis wanted to be here, and they grabbed Andre Roberts
to be their number two before they got Deshaun. So he's going to go to the slot and hurt people. They got weapons over there.
they did definitely have weapons, and the actual pressure will be on Norbert this season because he didn't have a great second season. Sometimes it's expected. Plus, he was coming off of an injury. But now the pressure's on. Now you should be healthy. You have a new coach. You didn't get along with the last coach.
Three games.
They get that too, and they've went out and spent money to kind of help you. So they've shown a commitment to you in terms of surrounding you with weapons.
Right.
So now it's a matter of seeing whether you can step up to the plate and deliver. Real quick, we got a couple calls. Let's just get them on real quick, but they have to be very fast because we're running out of time. But Tobias, Roll Tide. Tobias, what do you think about this whole situation? Make it real fast.
And
we got to get out of
Rob,
here.
Hold on. You're next, buddy.
Oh, I was going to say first, my whole thing was the social aspect of how they try to paint him as a gang member. Just say you don't cut him. My whole thing with the money, it's the NFL, not the NBA. Where you stuck with the deal. So if it doesn't work out for Washington, cool. But I'll say this real quick. He is an overrated receiver. He's fast. There's a lot of guys who fast. Hell, Julio Jones and A.J. Green are fast. But look what else they can do. And that's
exactly,
all I got
to
say.
Exactly.
All right,
no
Tobias.
Tobias,
we appreciate
the
feed.
Exactly
homie,
what you said, man.
We'll holler at
Roll
you next
time.
Week.
Roll
Tide. We'll talk to you next week, Tobias. Appreciate it. Let's get Rob on real fast. Rob, what's your thoughts, Rob?
Oh, what's up? All I got to say is I watched Deshaun Jackson since high school, you know, for Long Beach Poly to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
His speed hasn't changed, neither does his attitude. Looking back, Howie Roseman's learning from the free agencies, you know, that debacle free agency in 2011. He wants players here that's motivated by just wanting to be here, not motivated by money. Like, look at Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles, he was mad he got traded, but he was happy with the Eagles because that's the team he wanted to go in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I love you, D-Jack, but you're the enemy now. Don't come across the
that. I heard that.
Yeah.
Like, I
salute,
just
Rob.
Tell him,
we
like, I shake your hand.
Support,
I shake your hand when I see you at the crib, but you got on that other uniform now. Thanks, Rob.
Rob,
man.
Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks,
we're about to get out of here. Tune in with us next week. Thanks for the support, Rob.
Oh, no. If I see him in Cali, I'm talking crap.
I ain't even cool with
don't
him
be,
on the street.
Don't be twisting your fingers up, though, good brother.
Yeah, don't get
right,
the road on
they
him.
Might come get you. They might come get you.
All right, Rob. Take it easy.
Ride on him.
Tobias made the best point in terms of what he brings to the table. That's the whole thing. It all goes down to money. The social aspect, I didn't think that was necessary. If they came out and just said, look, we cut him because, you know, football-wise, we didn't need him, but all the other stuff was unnecessary. He's already known as a guy.
But that's what I keep saying. That's what I keep saying, Jim. Like, I'm not saying I believe with this. Like, I'm pretty sure the Eagles used that as an out, whether they put the report out or not. Because they had already been trying to trade him. They didn't get any suitors because nobody was taking him on for that contract. And for everybody who swears he's so great, then answer, you know, why that was a fact. Like, everybody's talking about how the speed is so important and taking the top off the defense because they keep hearing that term on TV and repeating it. But nobody wanted to pay him that money. The Eagles were the only team that was paying him that money in the first place. So they were trying to get rid of him. I heard they had kissed and made up because he was supposedly a problem kind of in the locker room with Chip Kelly. And then this report comes out, and they probably looked at each other if they didn't put it out and was like, yo, we can use this.
That's the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing. I just thought that was kind of like, you know, that was kind of crazy. I know that he's been a headache, and they call him like, you know, even Andy Reid had a problem with how he acted in the locker room.
Andy Reid suspended
him. From a football standpoint, man, like, yo, I'm not paying no receiver $12 million. I don't care if your name is Jerry Rice, Moss, LTO. I'm not paying nobody, yo. Seattle just won with, like, yo, dudes from community college playing wide receiver. You don't need a great wide receiver to win. All you need is some hungry gangbangers with speed.
No.
But, Dev, let's get out of here.
No.
All right, look,
Brady,
real quick, because we got to go.
Damn.
Yo, he's stupid, man. All right, before I take us out of here, man, we just want to give a shout-out to the NBA Players of the Week, Nikola Vucevic, my man, he used to play for the Sixers, and Tim Duncan. Shout-out to Kevin Durant, 38 straight games of 25 points or more, going for that record, that modern-day record of MJ with 40. The Spurs, 19-game winning streak that nobody cares about. I care. Shout-out to the Spurs. The Pacers are struggling, and the Heat have overtaken them dudes. It's going to be a crazy playoff, so y'all stick around. But look,
I was going to say, to hear us talk basketball, check our YouTube page. We'll talk about all those stories on YouTube. Yes. Let's go.
No doubt. So thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good folks. Shout out to everybody in the chat room on Facebook, Twitter, and all the callers who chimed in to holler at us. If we didn't get to you, our bad. We can try to get to you next week. Thanks to Dr. Monique Rowe for joining us to tell us how to take care of our wheels. Make sure you check her out on Twitter at Dr. Sweetfeet. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for some more great sports talk. We got college basketball national champion, the crown. And as usual, we're going to take you guys on a journey all around the world of sports. So until then, enjoy your week. Enjoy the finale of the college basketball season. We'll see you down in Dallas if you're going to be there. And we'll be right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook, Twitter, and catch us on WarRoomSportsTV.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance.
We'll see you Trumps on top.
Know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call in.
323-14-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
Yeah. You know? Jimmy. Dez. DJ. Doc Bay. The officer.
Uh-huh.
I'm shot. Up here coming on the beat.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.